Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. As I mentioned in the first episode of February, the guests this month were asked the same series of questions. Two women in ministry, two different perspectives. Today, I'll share with you my conversation with Captain Kelsey Marino. Kelsey and her husband are the Corps officers at the Detroit Conner Creek Corps on the east side of Detroit. Kelsey shares her salvation experience, her journey towards and in officership, and her hopes for women's ministries. We hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast, Captain Kelsey Marino.
Marino.
Okay, good. Yep. Got that right. Good. So glad you're here on the Women's Ministries produced Prepare Podcast, where we meet with women of faith and ministry to learn from their wisdom and experiences to help prepare and equip us in our faith pursuits and callings.
I am thrilled to be here. This is my first podcast.
Yay.
Yes.
Glad to be the first. Okay, so formally, you are a Corps officer. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you are a captain, and you are the Corps. You and your husband are Corps officers at the Detroit Conner Creek.
Detroit Conner Creek. Yes, we are.
That is right. And you've been in Detroit for like 10 years. Is that right?
We actually moved to Detroit when we were commissioned in 2006. So
okay.
It's been a little longer than 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, tell me your... Okay, before we jump in now, I want to know your appointments already. So where have you been?
So we were commissioned and sent to the Detroit Temple Corps. We also served at the Detroit Brightmoor Corps. Mm-hmm. We were actually the last people to serve there. It closed while we were there. It merged with Grandale, the Detroit Grandale Corps, so we were at Grandale for a couple of months. And then after that, we were sent to the Detroit Harding Corps. Mm-hmm. So we circled Detroit. 9 years ago, we arrived at Detroit Harding. 5 years ago, Detroit Harding became Detroit Conner Creek when we purchased a new building and moved about a mile up the road.
Wow.
So now we're at Conner Creek, but the last 8.5 years, we've been on the east side of Detroit.
Wow. Yeah. So interesting. Living what I consider the dream.
Yes.
Being from Michigan, Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I find it very cool.
It's been fantastic.
Okay. Well, we kind of jumped ahead there because I got excited. But before we go further, can you introduce the Prepare listeners to who is Kelsey?
Oh, who is Kelsey? I am from Minnesota. I was raised there. I met the Salvation Army at a very young age. And I've grown up seeking God for mm-hmm. the most part. I had some rebel moments in there, I'm sure. I've been an officer in the Salvation Army since 2006. I've been married for 15 years now. That's been a huge blessing in my life. And I would say, interesting little tidbits. I'm a knitter. I love to knit. That's what keeps me sane most days. I love learning. I love preaching. And I love the ministry that I have through the Salvation Army.
Okay, let's just dive right in. So, like I shared with you already, these are the same questions I've mm-hmm. asked our guest, our other February guest, mm-hmm. Lieutenant Colonel.
Yes.
Lieutenant Colonel Patty Richardson. So I just think that might be something we do going forward, just mm-hmm. to hear different perspectives, same questions, different perspectives. So here is the first question. Mm-hmm. When did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian. I was 7 or 8 years old. I had been attending the Rochester, Minnesota Salvation Army for a short time. And that was back in the day when every year you did a spring campaign. And I remember the territorial evangelists at the time, the Jarvises, came. And they did a whole youth meeting with a puppet show and magic tricks. And, of course, the gospel was presented. And at the end of it, I remember... they, of course, gave an invitation for anyone who wanted to accept Jesus as their Savior. And I remember, even at that young age, I felt compelled, almost pulled out of my chair to get up and to go kneel at the altar and be prayed over and walked through that experience of accepting Jesus as your Savior. And so from a very young age, Christ has been a part of my life. Mm-hmm.
The thing that, of course, that stood out to me, the salvation moment, but
yeah,
the puppet ministry.
Yeah.
Like, Is that going to come back? I kind of want it to.
You know, I don't know. I think sometimes people give it a valiant effort to see a resurgence of puppet ministry. But, I mean, it definitely had a big impact on my life.
Yeah.
It was very cool to 8-year-old me.
There was this when I was in World Missions, we got introduced to this method, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was involved sitting on the floor with children, mm-hmm. having this box, and telling a story, referring to the box, referring to what's in it. And whenever, I think it was at like a refuel, mm-hmm. really long time ago, that's where I think I saw it, all these adults, we were like on the floor, like waiting. I'm like, open that box. I gotta know what's in that box. And even the other day at Corcadets, one of the leaders, Kathleen, she grabbed her purse, mm-hmm. and she was explaining something was in her purse that she wanted to show. And again, I got this like really, like, what is in that purse? Yeah. Like, and she was going to show like a gospel bracelet or whatever. But it was just, I was like, there's so many great, mm-hmm. we think they aren't relevant.
Right.
But it's really just how you present it. So sorry to really sidetrack there, but.
Break out your puppets. We know you have boxes of them, people. Break them out.
Look in those closets.
They're there. I guarantee it.
You're like, I left some behind. I know they're there.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on, when did you decide to become an officer in the Salvation Army?
So that's kind of a two-part question. When I first realized that maybe Salvation Army officership was like a thing that I could actually do someday, I was probably shortly after I was enrolled as a junior soldier. So I was like 8 or 9 years old. And I remember, you know, often we ask kids, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I think that's a fantastic question. And sometimes I don't think we take kids seriously when they give us an answer. But I can remember thinking at that young age, and I had fantastic Corps officers growing up. My first Corps officers were John and Nancy Mowers. Lee and Melody Morrison followed them. And I remember the example that they gave of what it meant to love people. And we constantly saw them doing that. And I constantly felt loved by them. And I remember thinking that I wanted to do that someday. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do what they did. And so I would say when I was very young, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I would say, I'm going to be a Salvation Army officer. I think it was definitely much later in life that I got serious about that calling. Mm-hmm. When I was 16 years old, I remember, I don't even remember what event it was. It was like a youth councils or a MAP weekend or something. And, you know, as we do at Big Army events, there was a call to officership at the end. And it was almost that same compelling feeling that I felt when I was young and I first accepted Jesus. It was like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you need to get out of this chair and you need mm-hmm. to walk up there. And it's kind of funny. My friend Andy Wheeler was standing next to me at that call to officership. And he kind of nudged me during the prayer time. And I don't even know if he remembers this, but he kind of nudged me during the prayer time, right? It's this holy, sacred moment where they're praying this blessing over us because we've answered the call. And he nudges me and he whispers, do you think anybody's going to hold us to this? Right? And it was just a funny comment between friends. But I remember thinking in that moment, I really hope somebody does. Mm. And it's really time to get serious about what God has placed on my heart, what God's will is for my life. And so it was probably about 16 years of age when I decided, like, it's time to pursue this in a more serious manner.
So how old were you, or when was it that you went in?
Well, let's see. Javier and I got married when I was 19, and we went in the following year. We celebrated our first anniversary, mm-hmm. and the next day we moved to training.
Okay.
So I was 20 when we went to training. I was very, very young. Mm-hmm.
On the fast track.
On the fast track, yep. Yep. In marriage and in and in officership.
But 15 years later.
Yeah. When you know, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So.
Okay. So 15 years of ministry. Mm-hmm. You're a child growing up having experiences in Salvation Army. Is there a ministry over the years that you are consistently drawn to, and why?
I think the ministry of preaching for me has always been really important. It's a very important part of my call. I preached my first sermon our Corps cadets, our Corps cadet brigade, big fan of Corps cadets, took like a service project trip to the Minneapolis Harbor Light when I was 14. And the officer at the time gave us the opportunity to plan and lead the Sunday service. And I remember my Corps cadet guardian, hey, Jennifer, if you're listening, said, "Kelsey, I really think you should preach." And I was 14 years old.
Wow.
And I was just overwhelmed, really. Who wouldn't be? Your first mm-hmm. sermon at the Harbor Light to a room full of men who are needing to hear the gospel message. And it was probably one of the shortest sermons I've ever preached.
Mm-hmm.
But from that moment, I really knew that God was going to use me through pulpit ministry. And so that has been something that I've been very passionate about ever since. I think second to that, my answer would be Javier and I have both always felt specifically called to ministry in an urban context, which has been great serving in Detroit these mm-hmm. last decade plus. And so the hustle and bustle of the city, the needs of people that are so evident around us, it really is different than you would see in other types of communities. And that has been something that Javier will testify to, the fact that he knew we were going to Detroit before we even went to training, because God had revealed that to him. So communities like Detroit, urban areas, have always been something that we have felt really passionate about as well.
Did either of you grow up in a setting like that?
No. I am from a very tiny, small farming community in southern Minnesota, Stuartville, Minnesota. You know, there were 100 kids in my graduating class. So that is like I'm from an area that's the complete opposite of the area that I serve in. Javier, though, is an officer's kid. So his parents were specifically in Hispanic ministries. And so they actually moved all over the country.
Oh, okay.
And so he's lived in all different kinds of areas. So he definitely had a lot more experience in an urban setting than I did. But, you know, through God, all things are possible.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So looking at women's ministries mm-hmm. as, you know, that's, you know, a pretty pillar ministry in many Corps. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, they say when a Corps gets started worldwide, you know, in any different country, one of the first things established is a women's ministries mm-hmm. program. It's just a big part of who the Salvation Army is. So is there in the looking at the mission of women's ministries, mm-hmm. you know, or the different elements, mm-hmm. I think when you and I talked before, I described it as like a women's ministries as like a wheel, and the spokes can include, you know, the fourfold, which focuses on fellowship, service, worship, and education. Mm-hmm. And then there's the opportunity to do focus groups or mm-hmm. outreach. So just looking at what makes up women's ministries, do you ever right. feel like there's something missing that you would like to see added to women's ministries?
You know, I think as a Corps officer, that I really have great freedom within that wheel to design or implement or embrace programs that already do exist that meet the needs of my women. I would say the overall, a lot of times I feel like we tend a lot towards the fellowship side of things, mm-hmm. And maybe even worship, but sometimes, you know, service and education can sometimes be neglected overall. I think one of the things that has been really important to me about women's ministries, specifically in my experience as a Corps officer, is making sure that we're constantly identifying needs and finding ways to meet them, because what worked 10 years ago may not work today, mm-hmm. you know. And I look back over my time in the Army, you know, my 30-ish years, and women's ministries has grown leaps and bounds from what it was when I was a kid. But I would really hope that we would continue to find ways to assess and meet the needs of women as they are today. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that flexibility can become one of those spokes, but I think that the freedom that I have as a Corps officer really to look at the women that are in my care, the women that are in my community, and to say, you know, here's a need that's not being met by what we're currently doing. How can we meet it? Mm-hmm. I think that is critical mm-hmm. for women's ministries moving forward. And personally, I think, you know, any opportunity that we have to develop women into leaders mm-hmm. is something that we really need to put a lot of effort and energy into, mm-hmm. Raising up women, empowering women, equipping women to understand that they don't necessarily have to wait for someone else to do it. They don't have to wait for a man to step up and do it. God has gifted them with skills and abilities, and it's absolutely appropriate for them to step up and use them.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on that last part that you just mentioned mm-hmm. about equipping women mm-hmm. as leaders, how would you personally plan to elevate that addition in your sphere of influence? Or maybe how have you been doing it?
So it's, you know, it's interesting. I think that even myself, sometimes I have been neglectful of making sure that that happens. I have a great women's ministry secretary who's fantastic at her role. But I know that there are others in my group that are capable of, even if we start smaller, like it's your turn to lead Bible study this week, or it's your turn to design and implement, you know, a series of programs that we're going to do when we get together. And really encouraging the women that I have at my core to stand up and step out into that role. But even more than that, I think looking around at the Army in general, women need to do a better job of encouraging one another, mm-hmm. I think, and identifying the giftings that we see in our friends and our sisters in Christ, and really encouraging them mm-hmm. to step out and use them.
Well, one of the questions I asked that was really specific to Colonel Patty, mm-hmm. But I actually think you could answer mm-hmm. this, is how can the Salvation Army, especially coming from a core, from an urban setting where the congregation is primarily African-American, what do you feel the Salvation Army can do to leverage opportunity and recruitment of leaders in a way that gives equal representation?
You know, I think at this commissioning this past year, there was that great thing of inviting people to your table, right, and adding another seat. There's always more room at the table. And I think we need to be very intentional about listening to the opinions and the perspectives of those who are different than the majority of the people who are in leadership. And by that, I mean, you know, white, mm-hmm. Caucasian. And I think that for me in Detroit, you know, when I first got there, I did not have much experience ministering outside of my own race. And it quickly became evident to me that the best way to become comfortable in that role and the best way for people to become comfortable with me was for me to listen twice as much as I talked.
Mm.
And so I think we need to be intentional in all areas, making sure that everyone really truly does have a seat at the table. Anyone who wants to be here and weigh in on mission critical issues should be given an avenue to do that.
Okay, going along with that, mm-hmm. or maybe other visions that you might have, where do you want to see the Salvation Army in 10 years?
I think it's great to dream, and I think it's great to look forward to the future. When I look back at what the ministry of the Salvation Army was in Detroit when I got there more than 10 years ago, and I look at what it is today, the constant thing is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That people need Jesus, and we have got to find we've got to give Jesus to people. Mm-hmm. We've got to introduce them to Him. But the ways in which we do that have changed. Your ministry looks a lot different than it did 10 years ago. Because we've adapted to the needs of our community. And I hope that that's happening everywhere that the Salvation Army is. And so I think, you know, there are lots of things that I would like to see in 10 years. But I would hope that overall we are still aware of what the needs of the day are. You know, we can't exactly predict what they will be. But I do know that it would be important for the Salvation Army to be sensitive and aware in how they respond to them. I think of things like, you know, I just saw on Facebook, I think it was a couple days ago, that the Western Territory has just appointed their first married female divisional commander. I hope in 10 years that's not news anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I hope in 10 years that's just how we appoint people. We appoint you know, somebody who is capable and gifted regardless of their marital status or gender. I don't want that, you know, I would love to get to a place where things like that are noted, but they're not noteworthy mm-hmm. necessarily because it's just how we do things. I think that the Salvation Army needs to remain, we don't need to become static, we need to be dynamic. And I love that right now it really seems like whatever it takes to achieve that mission of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and meeting human needs in his name without discrimination, I get the sense of there's a whatever that looks like in your community, go out and do it. Open up your doors. Reach out with the love of Christ. And I don't know if I really answered your question or not, but I think in 10 years, I think it will look different than it does today, and the thing that remains the same will be Jesus.
Yeah. So one more question that I tagged on with Colonel Patty was, she was commenting on the different facets of the Salvation Army, mm-hmm. and where if you're involved in the Salvation Army, even if you're not, you're pretty aware mm-hmm. that we've got a lot of pokes in the fire.
Yeah, definitely.
So of all the different pokes in the fire, is there one or two that you feel like really we have got such a great opportunity if this is just nurtured and cultivated right mm-hmm. to bring the gospel to even more people or to that and grow our church mm-hmm. and see more people come and do the Salvation Army? Is there a facet ministry that we really are just on the edge of unlocking?
I'm a big fan of a pathway of hope. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, at its heart was really designed to answer the needs of the whole person and to really move from a hand out to a hand up. And I think where it's been done well, we've seen not only growth in the families that we've worked with, but growth in our churches as well, because we've been able to connect some people to a faith community that they didn't have before. And so I've been really encouraged by that ministry as well. And I think it's interesting, you know, you talk about pokes in the fire. A lot of churches have a great online presence these days. Mm-hmm. You know, there are live streaming services. There's you know, all these different ways that they're reaching out to people. And I think that it would be smart for the Army to harness some of that, too, to elevate our online presence, because we're living in an increasingly digital world. Mm-hmm. I know kids come into my core every day, and they have every social media account that you can think of. And they, you know, whereas it used to be maybe that was just a waste of time, there are meaningful interactions happening through those platforms. And so I think that would be an interesting area to explore. How can we elevate, especially in our Western context, mm-hmm. Our online presence to reach people through an avenue that they're spending so much time on anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, well, your first answer was exactly the same as Colonel Patty.
All right. Hey, Colonel Patty, all right.
And then your second one is something that we've been working on in our department.
Yeah.
And just last week had filmed a video with Captain Aubrey DeBar about mm-hmm. how she used Facebook to
yes.
bring more people into her core. So there's a lot of opportunity mm-hmm. in these different spaces to reach more people for Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Any closing statements from you?
Oh, just thanks for having me here. It's been awesome. I love what the Women's Ministries Department is doing. Arise and Shine was fantastic.
Hey.
You know, we had such a great time, and just really want to thank the Territorial Women's Department for all the work that they're doing. We can definitely feel it out on the field.
Cool. That mm-hmm. makes me feel good. Glad to know.
Well, that is good. I'm glad. Mission accomplished.
Yeah. Okay. We're cool then.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Captain Kelsey, for sharing with us your heart for the Salvation Army to keep Christ the center in all it does. Listeners, we hope you leave today feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow.